Welcome back to Psalms, everyone. Psalm 148, and just three to go. And back to when we started, there was a whole lot of lament back in the opening. It took us nine full psalms to finally get a psalm of praise. There were a lot of emotions to process, and the psalms did not shortcut. But remember how I told you back then that the Psalter would be like a grand symphony with various chord progressions all coming and going and weaving together? But the one driving rhythm that would never stop coming back is praise. Well, here we are, the last movement, the finale. I picture the psalmist approaching the task of closing out the Psalter. What does it need? It has to be worthy, because he is worthy. It has to be big. I sort of picture him like a symphony conductor in a great open-air theater, holding his baton. And as he looks around and considers his choir, and considers his instruments, it's not enough. So he glances upward and gets an idea. The suspense builds as the house lights dim. The air itself seems to feel the tension. The baton lifts, and music springs forth. Verse 1. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord from the heavens! Praise him in the heights above! Praise him, all his angels! Praise him, all his heavenly hosts! Praise him, sun and moon! Praise him, all you shining stars! Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies! So he went big. From line one, our humble conductor calls on nothing less than the heavens and all the angels above to praise. It takes some moxie to call on angels to do anything, let alone the sun, moon, and the very stars. But then the psalmist reminds us in verse 5, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away." Ah, now that makes sense. It is right for the heavens to praise the one at whose very command they were created. So he calls to the very highest heights, to the heavens, to the angels, to the sun and moon, and all you shining stars. I love that line. Hey, you, yes, you, shining stars in all your splendor, I'm pointing the baton at you. Join in. And he does it again in verse 4. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. I love it. You waters way up there hanging in the skies. You're on. Time to praise. I have to admit, I'm picturing my hypothetical conductor here, something like Mickey in Fantasia, when he's commanding the stars and comets and seas into one great symphony. Musically, this psalm reminds me of one of my favorite albums by one of my favorite artists, Illuminate by the David Crowder Band, and especially the song, Oh, Praise Him. But back here in Psalm 148, I do wonder, does he really have to call on them to praise? Doesn't their existence praise their maker already? Yes, absolutely. Back in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. They never stop day or night. So why call them? I thought that over. And as I see it, the great conductor is here calling the whole orchestra and all the choir to sing praise together. The call to praise is far from over. The heavens above have all been called in. All are singing forth praise. But now the conductor looks around at the earth below. Verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Now the sound that began in the heavens above echoes all around, like thunderclap booming through the great canyons. Everything is in. As I read and studied through this passage, I struggled a bit to come up with the right way to explain it, and it occurred to me that I don't so much want you to understand it as much as hear it and feel it, the way you feel loud music reverberate inside your chest. Can you feel the sound as praise resounds from the ocean depths, from lightning and hail, snow and clouds? Can you hear them all sing his praise as they do his bidding? Do you feel the praise of mountains and hills, fruit trees and mighty cedars, wild animals, cattle, every amazing little creature and every fantastic bird in flight? It's a fallen world, I know, but his glorious creation still sings forth praise. And with all the heavens and all the earth now sounding forth together, the conductor points his baton to us, to mankind. Verse 11. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Finally, the beautiful voices of men and women and children, each and every one made in his image, young and old. Each and every one made in his image, the voices lift high and sing out. They join in the angel song. They harmonize with the stars above and seas below, as they were created to, singing praise to their own creator. And here I see the real purpose of the psalm. All of creation does praise. The heavens declare his glory. They pour forth speech day and night. The earth is filled high and low with an endless symphony of his wonders, from the deepest depths to the highest peaks. He made them. They're marvelous. Of course they praise him. And we are called to join them. We are his handiwork. From the lowliest among us to kings and queens on great thrones, we are, every one of us, called to hear the music and join in song, to praise. Back in verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. We praise many names for many reasons, and we lift them up to honor and respect. But his name alone is exalted above every other. The earth is filled with many splendors, and the heavens above are astounding in their glory. But his splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And watch the final verse, verse 14. And he has raised up for his people a horn. Pause there. In the Bible, a horn is a picture of strength. An animal lifting its horn is a statement, like a ram or rhinoceros saying, "Bring it." And in human battle, the lifting of the horn is much the same. Sounding the horn is a rallying call, a renewal of strength. For you Lord of the Rings fans, recall the Horn of Gondor, or remember King Theoden's proclamation, "The horn of Helm Hammerhand shall sound in the deep." Okay, maybe I'm a little overdramatic, but that's the sense here. In Psalm 148, it is the Lord. He has raised up for his people a horn. The praise of all his faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Now, the psalmist doesn't clarify just what this horn is. It appears to be prophetic of some future hope. And do you recall the story of another song? It was sung by an old man, a brand new father, the day that his son John was circumcised. The son would become John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way for Jesus. And the father was named Zechariah. He too sang praise to the Lord because he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That horn of salvation would be Jesus, the promised Messiah in the line of David. And later, Philippians would remind us that this same Jesus, the very Son of God, humbled himself, became a servant, and went to the cross. And listen as Philippians echoes this psalm. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Read Psalm 148. Join the heavens above and the earth below, and praise the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.